Okay. So, my approach today is to try and express my thoughts and responses to this psalm. You're probably pleased to know this isn't going to be a theological treatise. Or a dissection of the literature and structure of the psalm. When I was at school, my English teachers despaired at my use of language, my lack of understanding of grammar, and certainly my appreciation and criticism of poetry. I'm not even going to look at who wrote it and why. I just want to try and give you my response to God's word. So I guess before we start that bit, I need to tell you where I am in my walk with God. So I'm trying to cultivate a sense of resting in God's presence. I tend to be a doer rather than a thinker. Achievements, job, age, family and interests shouldn't define who I am. I struggle to sit still. As you probably noticed, one of my granddaughters was exactly the same. I struggle just to be. I like to be doing. So I'm trying to experience more of God's grace not by striving, but by resting. When Lynn and I went to Spring Harvest, the challenge there, the whole theme of the week was to go deeper, wider, higher, to experience more of God. The speaker that I connected with most was a guy called Nathan Foster. And he was talking about spiritual disciplines, which was something that we'd touched on in the refuel meetings on a Saturday morning. So it sort of connected with me anyway. His style was different. He didn't seem to be rushing. So at the start of his speech, his sermon, whatever you want to call it, on one of the evenings, he came up, introduced himself, and then he sat down at the back of the stage for 2 minutes, just while he gathered his thoughts and composed himself and got ready, which was quite odd. You could see people, what the heck's going on here? But you could see in the way that he was talking, he was trying to construct his sentences. He wasn't rushing into them. He wanted to get them just as he wanted them to be. And he would say he was trying to answer the question, there must be more to life than this. So, for me, I'm trying to develop as a person. Because of what Jesus is doing inside of me, not because of the pressures at work or what's happening around me, but because of what I'm learning about Jesus. But as we got in when we were reviewing how the church should develop, we were talking about the people at the front talking a lot about themselves, which is what I've just done, which is not what we wanted. So let's move on to Psalm 147. So it starts off, as all these five psalms that we've been looking at do, with praise. Praise the Lord. So I'm not sure Mike or Ian actually defined what praise was. So it is the act of expressing commendation or admiration or proclaiming the glorious attributes of, and then fill in the dots. Ian asked us to write words of praise as part of his sermon on 145. Can we put the first slide up, Jane? There we go. So sit. I haven't got it in front of me. I suppose I have. I'm not sure I can read it from here to there. So here's some of the things that you wrote down. He's righteous, glorious, unchanging, beautiful, victorious. He's Lord. He's everlasting. Etc. So we've expressed our praise in that, and we've been doing that as we've gone through the meeting this morning. But I thought, why don't we have something slightly different? The kids always get the colouring bits, don't they? So down at the front there is some paper and some crayons. So if anybody wants to, while I'm speaking, I won't be offended. go down to the front and pick up a piece of paper and sit there and draw and doodle while I'm talking. If that helps you express and connect with the psalm, then please do so. I thought about Play-Doh, but then I forgot to buy it. So let's show you a picture. Which way is
down?
So this is a picture that was painted while we were at One Spring Harvest meeting. There was an artist there doing huge canvases. That was about 6 foot by 4 foot. It's obviously if somebody bowed in praise and the glorious colours all around it. So we've done worshipful art a few times in the church. Why should we be constricted to words? However, the English language is very rich. Apparently, there's over 30,000 words in the English language. Most of us use less than 10% of them. Shakespeare apparently used about 50%, and he invented half of those anyway. But we can express ourselves in many ways. Here are some of the words that were in the dictionary to define praise. It's approval, acclamation, adoration, applause, compliments, congratulations, giving an ovation, lauding, covering people in plaudits or things in plaudits, glory, worship, thanksgiving, magnifying, blessing, extolling. And that's not the full list. But those are just words. And we can do emotions and activities as well, hence the idea of the drawing in the corner. So I'm sure we can identify this, certainly those with children. Your son comes back from school and says, "Hey, Dad, I did really well in a test today. I got 7 out of 10. And your response is, "Well, that's great, son, but what about the other 3? We've all done it. I've done it lots, I'm sure. Your wife puts on a new outfit and you look at it and go, "Oh, yes, that's nice, but not a good place to do that." Or, you've done a bit of DIY and somebody says, "Yeah, that looks good, but..." We're not great at giving praise, and I think most of us find it harder to receive praise. Maybe that's something we need to work on. So, we're going to test your imagination now. We're trying to express a little bit more range of emotions in this service than just me talking. So, can you all close your eyes? And I want you to try and picture the scene. It's a sunny Saturday afternoon. You're with 25,000 like-minded people. The pitch is looking splendid. It's the first game of the new season. You've got your brand new replica kit. It's green, it's yellow, it's got a canary on it. It's the latest. The songs start up and you join in. You start to clap with the enthusiasm. You get your scarf out and you hold it up and you wave it. The stand is really bouncing with all the noise and the joy that's being expressed. Yes, you are at a football match. Displaying a wide range of emotions towards a bunch of men who spend their time kicking a ball. And you think, "What on earth am I doing here? Why?" And there must be more to life than that. And if you're a football supporter, the praise usually ends within 5 minutes as the opposition score. So you can open your eyes now. If guys can, and it's predominantly guys at football matches, I know the ladies do appreciate football as well, but can express themselves in such a way at a football match, why on earth are we so constrained in a church? Is football that important? Well, it is to some, but is it life-changing? Hopefully not. So, I'm just going to read a little bit. We saw this guy perform, Pete Neveland. I'm going to lend this book to Roger, because it does Psalm 146, and it does Psalm 148. But it doesn't do Psalm 147. Which is most unfair, I felt. So, we saw it. He's called a slam poet. There are some examples of his work on the web if you want to have a look. But I'm just going to read an opening paragraph from his chapter here on Psalm 146. Mike did it last week, so I'm not stealing anybody's thunder. "You have no idea how beautiful God is." Neither do I. Every time my eyes open to some new aspect of his character, I want to explode. I can't contain it. He's got to make my spirit stronger so my brain can handle the colours and sensations more vivid, more ecstatic, sweet bliss. I can't help but fall in love with him. I can't help but be awed that he would love me. If you've tasted the tiniest bit of his goodness, you know what I mean. If you do watch him on the web, he's got an amazing energy. So, let's look at the psalm. I'm not going to run through it in necessarily order of verses. It's as John said, split into two main themes around God's creation and God's character, and both are awesome. So, thinking back to me trying to rest and cultivate more of God's grace, we need to stop and look and absorb the amazing creation around us. Over the last couple of weeks, I've experienced beautiful sunsets, rainbows, the details in the flowers in the garden, watching a green woodpecker fly and then sort of laughing at it as it walks on the ground because it's so ungainly. The beauty of spiders' webs. I was walking with Beth and Jess down to get the paper the other week, and Beth is enraptured at present by flowers. So she kept stopping virtually every new plant she saw and going, "Pops, isn't that a great flower? Look how pretty it is." She just had so much enjoyment in experiencing a different flower for the first time. You know, she's four, she'd probably not taken much notice of flowers before. So it's, you know, the first summer where she's really appreciated that. And she was just overjoyed and she was just so happy to express it. Yet, do we do that when we're praising God? So over the last couple of weeks, Ian, Chris and Mike have expressed their thoughts about the creation, the scale of the universe, the golf-sized ball Earth, and all the other sizes. I got totally lost. But the psalmist goes through images of stars, rain, snow, frost, hail, ice, wind, warmth. So rather than me try to describe that, I'm going to put up some slides and just let you reflect on them. I'm going to shut up for a couple of minutes and we're just going to look at these slides. And if you can't contain your praise and you really want to say something, don't hold back. Why should I be saying everything? It's opportunity for you. So, these are to try and illustrate the features that are mentioned in the psalm. It's stars from the Hubble telescope.